So I just got some verses together on doctrine and teaching, because that's what we're going to be talking about today. I wrote the scriptures out just to make it a little easier so I wouldn't have to go flipping through the Bible. But you can follow along, but I was hoping to just kind of move along and not waste too much time. I was thinking this morning how we've been here for 6 years, and you kind of get used to the weather, but you never like stop thinking about how dangerous it can be. And so last night I was really tired. I stayed up kind of late. I worked all day, and then I kind of knew, you know, the NOAA radio thing's going off telling you that there's this warning, tornado warning, and I kind of knew that, like, you know, outside was looking bad, but I was so tired. I just fell asleep, and my wife, she pretty much stayed up and was keeping watch. I woke up this morning. I like the first thing I thought when I woke up this morning was, okay, I made it. Like, hallelujah. So I was thankful for that. Thankful for another day. And it's good to be here. Deuteronomy 32:2. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Just kind of thinking about how doctrine, it's so needful, and, you know, it's so needful for us, but also, like, some of it is tender, some of it is like dew, some of it is easy, but some of it is hard. Last night would have been as the showers upon the grass, you know, just coming down really hard, but it's so needful for the earth to receive this this rain. It also reminds me, of just how nourishing it is and needful it is, even though sometimes it's hard. Matthew 28:19-20. I put some of this stuff together to make it a little easier, like an introduction. Anyways, and then I have some scriptures at the end I'm going to read. Jesus admonished us to teach all nations what he commanded, and promised he would be with us unto the end in doing so. Yet amidst the simplicity of his teachings, we encounter the sobering words of Mark 7:7. Cautioning us against the pitfalls of human tradition smothering the divine truth. And it reads, in vain they do worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Let us heed this warning, ensuring that our worship is rooted and grounded in the pure word of God. Colossians 1:27-28 declares that God wants to make known unto us the riches of the glory of the mystery, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And he wants us to not only know it, but to preach it, warn every man, teach every man in all wisdom about it, presenting every man perfect or complete in Christ Jesus. We are instructed in Titus 1:9 to hold fast to these faithful words, and by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. That word exhort means to entreat or to strive, to appease. And a gainsayer is somebody who disputes the truth. Like Titus 1:9, Proverbs 4:2 also encourages us to hold fast to good doctrine and to never forsake it. Titus 2:12, the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Isaiah 28:9-10 reads, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? They that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. I thought, is it possible that this next verse here in 10 is telling us how to become weaned? For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. It made me think of Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:15, where it says, to meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them. It's in studying the scriptures continually that we come to a good understanding. Okay, so let us always remember the words from Matthew 7:28, how they marveled at the authority with which Jesus taught. And let us not be like those in Matthew 15:9, or Matthew 16:12, who exalted human tradition above divine truth. So now I'm just going to read a bunch of scriptures here about doctrine. John 7:16, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. A little side note that I think is really interesting is how in Deuteronomy 18:18 it says that about the prophet that would come, that he wouldn't speak his own words. John 7:7, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Romans 16:17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him, into him, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. 1 Timothy 4, I'm just actually going to read the whole chapter of that one because it's really good. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. 1 Timothy 6:3-4, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. That word evil surmisings means like suspicion, like just assuming the worst in somebody. Like a conjecture, like you don't have all the evidence. You have some of the evidence. It kind of appears a certain way. And then you evil surmise it. Like you kind of put this negative twist on it. And you kind of assume it in your mind that it's true. That would be an evil surmising, I think. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Titus 2:1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Titus 2:7 and 8, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. 2 John 1:9-10, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. And if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. This next scripture in Acts, it's like a teaching that they had, but I just really have always appreciated the simplicity of it. It's just very simple, and they were kind of dealing with... They were dealing with hard matters, but their solution was this simple solution. And so that's why I chose it. And also, it's a good way to end it. This is the last verse. Acts 15:28-29. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meat offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication. For which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare you well. So I'm sure that's not an exhaustive list of doctrine, but I don't have a whole lot of time. Those are just some thoughts there. Hopefully those were more relevant. But if anybody wanted to add to that, I'd appreciate it. Any thoughts there or corrections? Yep, thank you. God bless you all.
That was a good reminder. I just got done reading 1 Timothy this morning. And it's something about sort of like the evil surmisings in chapter 6 that I thought was noticeable. I just start in verse 3. It says, if anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing, but he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men and depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. That was the word this morning I was trying to teach Sunshine. I said, do you know that word? She says, yeah. I said, really? Okay. I said, what does it mean? She said, I don't know. And I said, okay, well, if you don't know, don't say you know. And sort of a means to talk about being grateful for the food that she has sitting before her. I thought it was kind of a good point. Um, And it kind of, anyways, it kind of reminded me of the conversation I was having with Robert last night. We were talking about the difference between miracles. What's considered a miracle, and whether something could be labeled as a miracle or providence. And we were getting, I think we were just more or less getting hung up on words. And then I just kind of stopped myself, and I was like, yep, this really isn't all that important. It was informative, but maybe not necessary.
Thank you, Brother Teo. That was a good exposition on doctrine. And, oh, that's such a dirty word, doctrine. You know that well. Doctrine. Doctrine divides and love unites. And it's a secular jargon, right? Doctrine divides and love unites. Well, what's the first two letters of doctrine? Oh, spells. Do, right? It should be a good thing. I'll make it quick. The theology or psychology would be, in study, okay, I don't do it much, but in practice, brother, get into doctrine, getting into the Greek and Hebrew, that's doctrine. That is good doctrine. But a lot of times today, especially in the, quote, Christian cemeteries, most of the courses they'll offer, well, let's do counseling for abused women, okay? Counseling for abused women. That's what they talk about. They're not talking about the doctrine that Brother Teo read or Rob just alluded to. May the Lord be magnified.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Teo. I guess what thoughts that I had was kind of going back to what Brother Duane either made us aware, or for some maybe, or reminded, is that... Yeah, the word doctrine comes from Latin. I was just Googling it as etymology of doctrine. And yeah, I thought it came from Latin. And so the word doctor means teacher. Doctrina, I guess, is the word Latin or whatever. So I guess I would really encourage, I was going to say encourage us to like use words that we typically use. Like when you talk about like teaching your children, you don't use the word doctrine, do you? Like what doctrines, homeschool, we're going to have? We're going to have math, we're going to have reading. Okay, yeah, we don't need that doctrine, we need that. Do you use that word, or do you use the word teaching? If the words that you typically use, that's the words we should be using. And let's remind us, like, why is Greek referred to as Koine Greek? Because it was the common language that everybody used just for communication. There's nothing special about the words that are in the New Testament. They're just the words that they used. And so there was no difference where they had to learn, well, what does this gospel word or this churchy word or New Testament word mean or whatever. It's just words that they used. And so just remind ourselves, we're talking about teaching. We're not talking about some special theology. That's not what doctrine means, as Brother Duane pointed out. So.
Your swords in passion.